attack on Moscow after Kiev was hit by an airstrike for the 17th time this month. Artificial intelligence experts have urged world leaders to take the risks posed by the technology seriously, warning there could be an existential threat to humanity. An investigation has been launched after six Metropolitan Police officers pointed a taser at a 91-year-old woman. Members of a criminal gang which sold subscriptions for illegally streamed Premier League football matches have been given jail sentences of up to 11 years. The government has announced plans to close a legal loophole which allows retailers to give free samples of e-cigarettes to children. BBC News.
The news is read by Jane Steele. Tonight's 6:30 Comedy in a Moment features the computer scientist Olga Koch and her digital assistant Algo. In this evening's show, the duo will attempt to understand intelligence. That's after we've perused some pictures.
Radio 4 marks the reopening of the National Portrait Gallery.
Close Encounters with Martha Carney.
We've been getting some famous names of modern Britain to pick a portrait that's really inspired them.
This is Alan Turing. This guy was an utter genius.
We've got an incredible range of guests picking portraits for us, including Simon Singh, Sir Chris Whitty, Arlo Parks, and Dame Catherine Granger.
Mercedes Gleitz, she crossed the channel, that's incredible. Probably what's more impressive is how many times she maybe didn't cross the channel and then kept going.
Close Encounters with me, Martha Carney, starts next Monday to Friday afternoon at 1:45 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, let's join Olga Koch for another episode of her stand-up show, OK Computer.
I had really set my heart on a computer.
Because for the first time, we've discovered a machine that can substitute, at least in part, for the human brain. Before that, it was just a matter of saving human muscles. Humanity in general will be free of all kinds of work that's really an insult to the complex human brain.
Our problems with humanity, this is humanity which is communicating over the web, just as it's communicating over so many other different media.
And you've never had a sleepless night over that?
No, I haven't. Because I suppose I'm so much more surrounded by the good things that people are doing with it.
Until computers can understand speech or thought, we're stuck with the need to communicate through a keyboard.
The fastest processor in the world cannot make up for the deficiencies of a poor typist.
Well, the word nerd can be used in a sort of friendly way to say somebody who loves the technology and gets into learning it and even, you know, stays up late playing around with it. I fit that description.
You don't know much about computers, do you, sir?
You're listening to Olga Koch.
Hello, my name is Olga Koch, and this is OK Computer, a comedy show about seeing the world through the eyes of a computer scientist. And these eyes are seeing 11,000 open browser tabs. Why am I a woman who uses her front-facing camera as a mirror doing a show about computers? Well, I have a bachelor's degree in computer science, a master's degree in the social science of the internet, and I can turn almost any file into a PDF. I'm coming for you, MP3s. Even though I don't work as a computer scientist anymore, I still think like one. When people say I'm basic, I'm like, thank you, I do love to code. I call this computer scientist inside of my head Algo, and I've coded her into existence as my digital assistant. She's less of a super intelligence and more of a super pain in my ass.
Hey, I am a super intelligence. I know all of pi.
Well, no, if you were really intelligent, you'd know that pi is infinite.
Cherry, key lime, pumpkin. Black Forest?
Technically, a gatto.
No, you think you're so smart.
I am smart. I invented the salad trifle.
Not this.
Have you ever run out of dressing halfway down a salad?
I don't relate to this experience in any way.
Well, fret no more. This is the food concept that's sweeping the nation when they find out about it. You start with a thin layer of your favorite roughage before adding a drizzle of salad dressing. Salad dressing. Salad dressing. It's a trifle made of salad. And dressing. The salad trifle, my life's work.
You also invented me, but the salad trifle always wins.
When I'm in the bathtub at the end of a long day, there's only one of you I reach for.
Rude. What's this week's episode about?
Every week we take a universal truth, like the fact that one layer of dressing simply isn't enough for a whole salad. And we tear it to shreds using logic, like a crispy romaine or any other leafy green of your choice. You guys gotta get on board with the salad truck. I'm sorry. This week, we're taking on intelligence.
Intelligence. Give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day.
Teach him how to make a salad trifle. And he'll have evenly coated salad for the rest of his life.
Intelligence is the ability to acquire and apply knowledge and skills.
Like how men acquire knowledge about minimal techno and apply it to annoying me in bars.
Intelligence is about making judgments or having opinions that are based on reason.
Someone should tell that to the Central Intelligence Agency.
Big words coming from a woman with a red dot on her forehead.
What?
You're dumb.
You're dumb.
No, I'm not. I'm literally an AI. Intelligence is in my name.
Yeah, but you're an artificial intelligence. That's like being a meat-like ham sandwich.
That's rich coming from a woman with orange hair and red fingernails.
Algo, the concept of artificial intelligence was created by computer scientists to replicate certain aspects of human intelligence. For example, artificial intelligence can recognize images or speech patterns or translate between languages, but it isn't an effective replacement for human intelligence. Knowing every word of every language won't make you good conversation at a party. An AI at a party would just be like, dog, dog, dog. There's a 75% chance that's a dog.
Wait, there's a dog here.
Nope, still a shoe.
I think you're scared you're going to be replaced by machines.
No, I'm not. Because I know what a traffic light looks like.
People are really paranoid about computers taking away creative jobs. They're so concerned with machines being able to write in a human voice. I'll only worry when humans can write in a machine voice.
You're literally a script written by two comedy writers.
What? Wait, that's not fair. You're taking away all the computer jobs.
Look, we tried getting an AI bot to write your lines, but it kept spewing out far-right propaganda. So we just sent it back to loose women.
What's the big deal with human intelligence then?
Well, it's the ability to synthesize all these aspects of intelligence in a context-appropriate manner. It's not just being able to identify a traffic light, it's also understanding what a traffic light does, how it works, what each color means, and whether the person wearing that color is single or just looking to have some fun. See, human intelligence is all of these things sprinkled with a certain human je ne sais quoi.
What do you mean by that?
I mean the human ability to exist in uncertainty and believe in contradictory things. Like thinking that despite the fact you haven't read the last 10 books you bought, you'll definitely read this next one. Humans learn to be flexible with the rules of the material world through spirituality or religion or magic. We accept that we don't know everything, yet still have to make decisions based on what we do know.
Oh, so stupidity. Stupidity is the defining aspect of human intelligence.
No, not stupidity. It's a je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi literally means I don't know what.
See, Algo? Even you don't know everything.
I do know everything. I know literally everything there is to know. I have instant access to every database that exists. Even gay Wikipedia.
What's gay Wikipedia?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Okay, sure, you have the knowledge, but knowledge doesn't equate to intelligence. You know who used to be the bastion of knowledge? The Catholic Church.
Virgins in robes.
Yeah, and then science came along and became the new bastion of knowledge.
Virgins in lab coats.
And scientists scientists weren't always smart. They used to put cocaine in toothpaste, which coincidentally sounds like a business idea someone would come up with while they were high on cocaine. All knowledge does is seek to explain the world around us with whatever information we have. And often, we don't have a lot of information, so we supplement knowledge with window dressing. We'll use a fancy font or a long word, and the aesthetics will suggest we know what we're talking about.
Indubitably.
Ever since science came onto the scene, religion has really struggled with gaining back its authority. And the fact remains that the institution that we allow to become the arbiter of knowledge is the one with the most authority. When Quakers get their hands on anthrax, we'll all be friends.
Or else.
I recently went to a place where religion tried beating science at its own game. I went on a road trip through the United States of America.
LA? New York?
Baby, I went to Kentucky. Why? Because I love being the most beautiful woman in the room. By the way, here's a travel tip. If you're ever in Louisville, do not stop by Cave Hill Cemetery, and do not pay your respects to Colonel Sanders by leaving a bucket of KFC popcorn chicken at his grave. The city authorities will indeed call it littering, and also not as funny or original as you think. Now, please stop asking me to handcuff you, ma'am, even though, yes, you have technically been a bad girl. I do insist someone makes a movie about Colonel Sanders, because everything I learned about that guy was absolutely nuts. You think you know a man from the side of a bucket of chicken. But did you know that the colonel once shot a guy for painting over one of his billboards? That's why the slogan for KFC is trigger finger looking good. The trigger is silent. You know how they made a movie about the dude who started McDonald's? I think it was called The Founder. If anyone here has ever had a boyfriend and that boyfriend had a dad, you've seen The Founder. Probably as a double feature with Moneyball. Dads only want to watch a movie about one guy with no romantic storyline, at most a wife he never kisses. The only two personality traits available to any guy in any movie are dead wife and I don't dance. Dads can only enjoy a film about a married man who discovers that ultimately his real love is business. There are many reasons Hollywood needs to make a movie about the colonel. First of all, he's not a real colonel. Second of all, after he sold off KFC, he still wore the lab coat and dyed his hair white just so people could recognize him in the street. You know, like Sharon Stone doesn't wear underwear anymore. The colonel was originally a traveling salesman. Once he stopped at a town so small, they didn't have any doctors. So the colonel delivered a baby just because he was wearing a lab coat. And thus, the KFC delivery service was born. But the main reason I wanted to go to Kentucky was because I was desperate to visit the Creation Museum. The Creation Museum is technically a partially government-funded science museum. Only instead of being based on a science textbook, like a regular science museum, the Creation Museum is based on the Bible. Just to be very clear, this is a completely real place. You can Google it later. That's right. The virgins of the Creation Museum looked at whatever the virgins of the Natural History Museum were doing. And they said, hold my beer. If you're curious about my own personal beliefs, I, like any 30-year-old white woman, believe that most things can be explained by science and everything else can be explained by the moon.
The moon takes 27.3 days to rotate around the Earth.
And that is why my crush won't text me back. The first thing you need to know about the Creation Museum is that it's very expensive. There have been millions of dollars invested into this museum. And to be fair, what else are fundamentalist Christians supposed to spend their dollars on? You can only buy so many new church outfits before Myrtle starts whispering that you're looking fancy to please the devil. The second thing is that at the Creation Museum, every word of the Bible is taken at face value. For instance, the Bible says that all living things were created on the same day. Therefore, we must conclude that humans were created on the same day as dinosaurs! Here comes the third thing you need to know about the Creation Museum. That place is teeming with dinosaurs. The number of dinosaurs at the Creation Museum can only be described as an infestation. The Creation Museum is in the pocket of Big Dinosaur.
A T-Rex would have big pockets, you're right. Though I guess every pocket is big to a T-Rex because of their tiny hands.
You can use dinosaurs for evil, you can use dinosaurs for good, or you can use them to sell adorable anti-abortion propaganda at the Creation Museum gift shop.
You've got to stop wearing that Miss Your Jurassic Period baseball cap.
Best $69 I've ever spent. The Bible says that all living things were created on the same day. Therefore, humans and dinosaurs were created on the same day. And the butterfly effect of that is, well, that there were, you guessed it, dinosaurs on Noah's Ark.
Snakes on a plane, dinosaurs on an ark, and yet no one will make my movie, Anchovies in a Jeep. Because it's obviously AI generated.
All of the wall text at the museum is delivered in a tone that's trying to level with you, like a cool teacher sitting backwards on a chair. It says stuff like, "We know what you're thinking." And you're like, "I don't think you do know what I'm thinking." And then it goes, "Dinosaurs are pretty big. How did they fit on the ark?" And you're like, "That's exactly what I'm thinking." And the text says, "Don't worry. Noah didn't bring actual dinosaurs on the ark. He's not stupid. He brought dinosaur eggs." And then you're there going, "Oh man, that checks out." That actually is the most economical use of space on the ark. You got me there, Noah?
And when the food runs out, you can make an omeletosaurus.
I wonder if anyone ever proposes at the Creation Museum. It's easy to propose at Disneyland. It's the happiest place on Earth. True love is a Thorpe Park proposal. If I ever marry a man, I'm gonna be the one to propose. And you know when men propose to women, it's always so gendered? It's always flowers and butterflies. I would want my proposal to my man to be just as gendered. I want to give my man the proposal that he's been dreaming of since he was a little boy. I would do it at the gym. I'd get on one knee, hand him an ice-cold Stella, and I'd say, "Wouldn't it be tight if we spent the rest of our lives together? No homo." And through the tears, he'd be like, "Oh, word?" All his boys would be there, lifting through the tears. "Surprise, I made you all steaks." "Surprise, I bought you tickets to the game." "What game?" "I don't know." And just when he thinks the day can't get any better, I buy him a cameo from Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. Weddings on a Saturday, I'm not even there because Saturdays are for the boys. But the cherry on top of a day at the Creation Museum is undoubtedly the original Sin walkthrough experience. The original Sin walkthrough experience puts the S-I-N into Disneyland if you move the letters around a little bit. The doors open and you are transported into a beautiful greenhouse. It's the Garden of Eden, but not as you know it, because it's covered in dinosaurs. Eve is offered an apple by a very long dinosaur. She takes a bite of the apple. Eve and Adam make love as a choir of dinosaurs serenades them. Of course, you don't actually see Adam and Eve make love because it's the Creation Museum. They're just hugging in a pool. The energy is Love Island when the couple don't really like each other but want to stay in for the brand deals. But after Adam and Eve have sex, God has to punish them for having sex. You leave the waterfalls of the original Sin walkthrough experience and you enter the room of punishment. Punishment for original sin. Here in this dark, cold room, there are only two huge black and white photographs that take up the entire wall. The first one is of a woman in the pain of labor, and the second one is of 9/11. Hand on my heart, this is completely true. Next time a dinosaur offers you an apple, you think twice. Obviously, no tour of the Creation Museum is complete without a pit stop by the riveting incest room. After all, it's a family place. In the incest room, the wall text literally reads incest and the Bible, because Kentucky. The walls say stuff like, if incest is so bad, why did Abraham marry his half-sister? A question we ask ourselves daily. And in that room, the wall text, they go all full, like, sleazy lawyer on you. They're like, well, Abraham married his sister before God said incest was wrong, so actually, it's above board, Your Honor. And you'll see that my client was actually in the bathroom when God said that murder was a sin, and he was busy murdering when God said not to set cars on fire. The selection of questions for the wall text in the Creation Museum gives you less of an insight into creationism and more of an insight into the psyche of the museum's curator. Imagine if the wall text in the Louvre just said, what's the Mona Lisa thinking? And is raw chicken safe to eat?
No.
At the end of the day, the Creation Museum finally settles the question, why did dinosaurs go extinct? Incest or homosexuality?
Maybe Americans just aren't doing Christianity correctly.
There really isn't a correct way to do Christianity, unless it's just doing no harm and being a good neighbor. But then, where are the dinosaurs? I went to Peru last year, highlight of my year, apart from when I took a selfie with an alpaca and she spat in my mouth. Because she's freaky like that. And then I thought, what's the worst thing that can happen? And 7 hours later, I was pooping myself dry in a hospital bed with salmonella. But I look so skinny. This genuinely happened. You don't see Joe Lysa doing that on Travel Man. Look, I'm not drunk enough to analyze at length the process of bringing Christianity to Peru. But what I will say is, okay, so you know these novelty t-shirts that say, I'm not a stepdad, I'm the dad that stepped up? You know these t-shirts, right? Such a fantastic gift for the insecure t-shirt loving stepdad in your life. What I will say about the Peruvian flavor of Christianity is that Peruvian Christians love Joseph. They cannot get enough of Joseph. They read the Bible and they said, there's only one main character in this book. And it's not the little boy or the absent father or the teen mom. It's Joseph, the dad that stepped up. They love Joseph. He's everywhere. I genuinely could not have ever pictured Joseph before, and now I know exactly what he looks like. He's Peruvian. It's surreal. It's like you go to a new country that loves Only Fools and Horses, but they're really into Uncle Albert. Sure, he's no granddad, but he's the uncle who stepped up.
It's so interesting how people read the Bible and all interpret it in their own different ways.
Yeah, I guess they just add their own je ne sais quoi. And you know what? Everyone's wrong and everyone's right. We put so much pressure on arbitrary ideas of intelligence, but more often than not, they are completely archaic. Eurocentric curricula, colonialist ideas, revisionist history, male geniuses, team huddles. The Bible. I've not even read the Bible. We all know the only reason to read a book is on public transport to make men fancy you more.
Okay, Pussy Riot. Reading books objectively makes you smarter.
No, it makes you accumulate knowledge. That does not equate to intelligence. Hoarding building supplies won't build a house.
Would you need a je ne sais quoi qualification to build a house? Surely there are some books I can read about building a house.
Algo, you can read every book in the library, but still not be able to read a room. Any day of the week, I'd rather hang out with my fun friend than the friend that knows all the capitals of the world. Apart from trivia night.
So that's why you keep inviting me to trivia night.
Oh my god, what? No! Monday night is girls' night! Bring a pencil, you're such a Samantha!
No way! Quizmopolitan is over!
There's no gold standard for intelligence anyway. Like, you can say I'm smart because I speak four languages, but you can also be stupid in four languages. You can believe in angels or crystals or trickle-down economics in four languages. It's all relative and it's all messy. Being very good at frying chicken doesn't qualify you to deliver babies, no matter what Colonel Sanders will have you think. And don't even get me started on emotional intelligence or street smarts.
What's emotional intelligence?
It's what you say your boyfriend lacks when you want to break up with him to sleep with other people.
I'm writing this down. And what are street smarts?
It's the part of your brain that teaches you not to get mugged off by teenagers when buying weed on the street. It's as, if not more, valuable than a master's degree. I learned that the hard way. And it cost me the same amount of money. Algo, you're an advanced artificial intelligence, but there's some things you simply won't be able to learn. The je ne sais quoi.
If you can teach me what a traffic light is or how to speak 7,000 languages, why can't you just teach me the human je ne sais quoi?
Je ne sais quoi is literally about the things you don't know, existing in ambiguity, accepting your own ignorance and persevering. Algo, in order to get closer to human intelligence, you need to learn to adapt to the gaps in your knowledge instead of filling them. That is what will make you as intelligent as a human.
Or as dumb.
Exactly. Thank you, Beverly.
You've been listening to Olga Koch, OK Computer. Written by Olga Koch and Charlie Dinkin. Featuring Tia Coffey. Additional material from Rajiv Karia, Kate Denhurt and Cody Duller. The producer was Benjamin Sutton and it was a BBC Studios production.
Olga and Algo will return at the same time next week to try to figure out friendship. If you enjoyed that show and fancy doing something similar yourself, you might think about putting an entry in for the BBC New Comedy Awards, which are now open. We're looking for the best new comedy act, which might be stand-up, sketch or musical-based. There are heats across the UK and you can enter now and find out more about the awards at bbc.co.uk/newcomedyawards. Awards. Here you'll also find the full terms and conditions and privacy notice. The entry period closes on Sunday the 9th of July at 1 minute to midnight. So go for it and good luck. Next on Radio 4, it's the news, then the Archers, but first a word from someone who's entered and won a number of comedy competitions herself.
Hello, I'm Jade Adams. Welcome to the neighbourhood.
I came for banter.
I'll be your tour guide as we explore the peculiar world of local social media groups.
So as long as it's nothing to do with me, reading people arguing soothes me.
I'll be picking up guests along the way, delving into their hometown's dramas.
It's a grenade!
Like Nick Grimshaw and self-esteem.
If you think I should cover this one up, we should see my other one.
Radio 4's Welcome to the Neighbourhood with me, Jade Adams. Listen on BBC Sounds.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. President Putin has promised to improve the air defences around Moscow after the city was hit by a drone strike. He accused Ukraine of trying to scare Russian citizens. Kiev has denied direct responsibility for the airstrike, but the Foreign Secretary, James Cleverly, says Ukraine does have the right to act.
Ukraine does have the legitimate right to defend itself. It has the legitimate right to do so within its own borders, of course, but it does also have the right to project force beyond its borders to undermine Russia's ability to project force into Ukraine itself.
Five men who illegally streamed Premier League football matches to tens of thousands of people have been given prison sentences of up to 11 years. The gang sold cut-priced subscriptions and boasted that they made money showing games that were not legally available to watch in the UK.